Much. It's very, very good to be back. Now, Baisai, before I begin the first shiur in the series on the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva, I wanted to mention something to you. And I'm saying this very much as a Talmid. I hope I can call myself a Talmid and in many ways a Chosid of the Rav, Zechayinu Levracha L'chayei. The Rav gave a series of public shiurim in Inyanei Tshuva, very great extent based on the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, but going beyond that. And the venue for the shiurim, at least the ones that I attended, was in the 92nd Street Y on Lexington Avenue. There's something about a venue. Now, why it was chosen is irrelevant. I'm sure that there were certain pragmatic explanations for it. But, you know, a place has a certain quality to it. I was thinking many times when the Siyum HaShas, because they needed such a huge arena for so many people. So you have this sports center. Now, sports is sports. So, you know, it's not exactly a Jewish thing. Spectator sports is not a Jewish thing. It's an American thing, and a lot of Jews are Americans. And so a lot of Jews who are frum are also Americans. And because of that, they don't even have like the sensitivity. So what's wrong with the sports arena? And there may be others who say, Lahefach, it's Mekadosh the Mokum. The fact of the matter is that would it be possible to have a place that was large enough and it was a Beis Medrash? Everyone would be maskim that 100,000 people in a Beis Medrash is more chashuv than 100,000 people in a sports arena. I think that everyone would be maskim. I think the same thing is true of a place that has concerts, poetry, and debates. And certainly the place itself was not run with the considerations of being Altaras HaKodesh. So once a year, maybe it became an extraordinary place of Yerushalayim and Yerei Shamayim. I had this feeling Bishas Maisa. I was a kid. I was a youngster. And I have this feeling since then, even more so. The venue of a place reflects on many things. But when it comes to Hilchos Teshuva, I think it reflects so much more so than a siyum or a yahrzeit shiur on whatever topic. The yahrzeit shiurim happened to be in the yeshiva, in the auditorium of the yeshiva, Lamport Auditorium. I always felt when I was listening to the Rav that I was transported philosophically in an intellectual, emotional way to distant places, to exalted heights. But my neshama stayed exactly where it was. I always felt that I walked out of there thinking the Rav is brilliant, the Torah is incredible. I don't mean his Torah, I mean it made me feel that Torah is incredible, which is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But I asked myself, did I have a single unique Hirhur Tshuva when I walked out of there? Now, what I mean to say is, I hope that we are constantly having Hirhur Tshuva. We're always messing up in some way or another. And a person's mechuyev to do tshuva 24/7. He's mechuyev to wake up with tshuva and to go to sleep with tshuva. We are people who are human, and to be human is to err. That's correct. To err is human. And we don't go around saying to err is human and to forgive divine. There's something in between those two phrases. To err is human, to forgive divine, but in between is, and when we discover our error, or we anticipate the possibility of error, we have to do something to rectify it. And we're supposed to be doing tshuva all the time. I can't imagine that after such a shiur, I walked out of there with less of my routine or normal or typical hergish of tshuva. But I didn't walk out of there inspired to do tshuva. Me'idach, and the Rav himself used to make these points about his Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Chaslavich when he was a kid, and he used to learn Tanya, and then they would hide the Tanya when his father came to check things out, and they'd pull out the Gemara as if you were hiding some illicit magazine under the covers, you know. So the Rav had this incredible depiction. But the Rav's respect for Chassidus was enormous, and I think that part of the reason for that is because the Rav saw in that a certain ability to transcend, to go beyond the intellectual and the philosophical, to reach the pintaliyit, to reach the nekudas haneshama, much more so. And I'll tell you something even more exciting. I think that I, in imitation, if you will, even of the Rav, in a typical night, in the middle of nowhere, at any time, and it's totally quiet, and I'm poring over a sefer, and hurrying to understand a Mohammed, a Ramban on the Rif, I think that I have a much bigger hero tshuva at that moment. What do I mean by hero tshuva? By this incredible sense of belonging, or this incredible sense of having an intimate shaychus with the Ribbono Shel Olam, an intimate shaychus with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when you have that feeling, you can't do anything wrong, because, you know, it's not only in the palace of the king, like the Ramban says at the end of his drasha to Rosh Hashanah, because he was in Eretz Yisrael now, and he was giving a drasha to the that were there on Rosh Hashanah itself, and then he wrote it up. And he writes that you have to understand that you're in the palace of the king. You are in Eretz Hashem. He discusses, what does it mean, Eretz Hashem? The whole world is Hashem's. So what is Eretz Hashem? And after explaining that Eretz Yisrael is unique because there's no sar, there's no intermediation, it's Ribbono Shel Olam in us. You're in the palace of the king itself. You're in the palace, it's Givaldic. But if you sin, he says, then when you're in the palace, it's much worse because you sinned in the palace. And when I'm opening up that sugya and I feel the presence of the Eibishter. Sorry to say it, I do, I feel it. And you can't do anything, but you feel so good, so full of some aura, some sense of Kedusha. So why didn't it happen then? The answer is because I would look up and around me were like statues with the names of the greats of the world. And here is Moses, and there is Shakespeare. So, Minini Michael Mismaini Gabriel. From here is Moses, and there is Shakespeare. And then who knows? I'll tell you the truth. You have to have a photographic memory to remember all the names. It wasn't that relevant, you understand. And I was listening very carefully to the Rav, but I couldn't help myself. That was where I was. And I felt a sense, a certain dissonance. So, it's not a criticism of any kind, Chalila, that a Talmud should criticize his Rebbe Bichlal. It's just that I just wonder sometimes if some thought was put into, you know, if they would have moved that shiur to a big base medrash somewhere which could house 1,000 people. There are rabbanim that give shiur to huge numbers. They give them in batei medrash. I think it would have made a different impact. But it goes to the core of what the Rav himself is saying. So many, many years ago, someone put together a sefer of his drashas on tshuva, the numbers that he heard. And the sefer is called Ala Tshuva. And it was translated, I believe, also. But that was the kind of a development. And if I remember correctly, the Rav praised the book. He praised the sefer. He was happy with the way it was put together. It's written very well. It's both easy in the sense that it's not very heavy-duty language. It's not using philosophical terminology. And at the same time, it pretty much expresses, it covers what the Rav was saying quite well. In the Ala Tshuva, the Rav asks right at the outset, what is the mitzvah? And the Rav points out that the Minchas Chinuch, and in fact his own uncle, in the Sefer Avodas HaMelech, Rav Krakovsky, the Vilna Shtot Magid, who was a Goyen Otzlum, we don't have the entire Avodas HaMelech, I don't know what happened to it, but we have the Avodas HaMelech and Sefer Mada and Hilchos Tshuva. And he says both of them argue that there is no specific mitzvah saseh to do tshuva. Not because, and in a way this is a shtickle my point, not because there is less significance to tshuva. What's the mitzvah saseh if there is no mitzvah saseh of tshuva? The mitzvah vidui, his vadas. And in fact, he opened up the Rambam at the very title, the heading of the Rambam. You know, the Rambam has the minyan ha-mitzvahs before every set of halachas. Before every set of halachas, the Rambam has minyan ha-mitzvahs. So when you open up the Rambam in his Hakdama, the Hilchos Tshuva, he writes Hilchos Tshuva, and he tells you how many mitzvahs in each section. Mitzvah saseh achas. Vahu, what is the mitzvah saseh? Sheyoshuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yizvadeh. So this is very vague. Sheyoshuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yizvadeh sounds very much like what the Rav would say, not like the Minchas Chinuch, because he includes in the mitzvah sheyoshuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yizvadeh. However, others have read even this line in the Rambam, that the mitzvah is really vidui, and the nature of the vidui is yoshuv lifnei Hashem. Because when the Rambam begins the actual halachas, this is just the heading where he tells you the mitzvah saseh from the Taryag. But then the Rambam says, kol mitzvah shabbat Torah. Bein asei, bein lo yisaseim, ovar odom al achas mehen. Bein bizadoin, bein bishgogo. Kishe yase tshuva. Listen to the Lashon. Kishe yase tshuva. V'yoshuv mechetoi, chayov lizvado, islifnei okel bohu. Shenema yisho yisho, ki yasu vizvado es chatos mashosu. So they argue, take a look at where the Rambam put the word chayov. He put the word chayov before lehizvados, not before tshuva. The Rambam should have written, if tshuva is the mitzvah, kol mitzvah shabbat Torah bein esei bein lo yisasei im ovar odom achas mehem, bein bezodim bein bishoga, chayov loshuv b'tshuva, chayov lasis tshuva, v'loshuv mechatoi, ulehizvados. Since the Rambam did not write it that way, but rather kishe yase tshuva chayav lizvadeis, they argue it's mashma from the Rambam quite clearly, actually, maybe a little more than just mashma, that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah is vidui, but of course, there's no such thing as vidui without tshuva, without being a shov. So the Rav at first brings down a whole number of psukim. How can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not command a Jew to do tshuva? It says, v'shaftat Hashem elokecha, and v'atos soshuv, etc., etc. And, you know, and of course, in the Nevi'im, shuva Yisrael, and so on and so forth. But in the Torah itself, there are psukim that say explicitly you should do tshuva. So they're really shtei tshuvas bedover, really, frankly, to argue on behalf of the others. Number one, that how come the Rambam didn't bring those psukim? And number two, it's very fascinating because Lashon Kodesh has a certain vagueness in the structures of language which lead to this kind of issue. When the Pasuk says, V'atos soshuv, or V'shafta ad Hashem elokecha, what does V'shafta mean? Because the future tense and the command tense are identical. Recently, I said a vort, it takes us completely out of context, but it's going to make the point. L'chadoidi, we have a minug in wherever I've been, chsidim, ashkenazim, natsvardim, I'm not talking natsvardim. But those who sing l'chadoidi with nigunim, and a variety of nigunim, some people have classical nigunim, and some people have brand new nigunim, some people have this kind of nigun, that kind of nigun. But they always sing a different nigun, starting with Lo Yisei Vayishi. Did you ever notice that? I'm not saying it's universal. It's certainly not a halacha. I don't think the Mishnah Berurah is going to bring it down. But that's the way people do. And the second nigun is usually faster. It's usually more fast-paced. Now, again, since there are no halachas and no formal minhagim, you know, it's not going to be brought down by the Mishnah Berurah and not by any of the other Sifrei HaMinhagim. But it seems to be an amcha kind of thing. It's a popular thing to do. So I was always wondering, why did that happen? How come? And I never saw anything about it. But one day I realized that there's a big difference in the terminology, in the formulation of Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz between all those before Lo Yisei Vayishi and after Lo Yisei Vayishi. All the others are bakoshos, and they're written in a lashon that can't be understood in any other way. Hisnari me'ofa kumi, rise up from the dust, is a bakosha. It's not a statement of fact in the future. If you want to say you will rise up in lashon nekeva, it would be tisnari. But when it comes to Lo Yisei Vayishi, those three that also speak about the Geula Shleima and also speak about Yushalayim suddenly full of people and on and on. And there will be no busha, there will be only joy, only excitement. The Lashon is Tarte Mashma. The Lashon is Lo Yisei Vayishi, you should not be embarrassed. Please don't be embarrassed anymore. Or it also means, however, you will not be embarrassed. Person says in Hebrew, do me a favor. You could say, asei li tova. That is a specific bakasha. Asei. It's a command. Of course, a command in the sense that I want you to do this. Do me a favor. But you could also say, ta'ase li tova. In fact, maybe most people would prefer such a logic. Ta'aseli tova bevakasha. Ta'aseli tova. What is ta'ase? You will do. Because the future is often used as a command. It's often used as a bakasha. They're used in the same way. But it could be a statement of fact in the future. The person says, I know for a fact that you will do me a favor because I did you so many favors. Batuachani sheta'ase li tova. That's not asking him anything. I am confident that you will do a tova. It's a statement of fact in the future. Lo Yisei Vayishi means I know for a fact. I'm such a maimon. I have such a clarity in the geula that I know for a fact that Lo Yisei Vayishi. I know for a fact yomin u'smol definitely tifrotzi. It's not yomin u'smol pirtzi. It's yomin u'smol tifrotzi. So it is a bakosha, but it's a bakosha that is couched in a statement of fact. I am confident beyond confidence. And that's the pshat of v'shafto ad Hashem Elokecha. So until then in L'cha Dodi, it's pure bakosha. Maybe yes, maybe no. And this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I'm begging you, Hashem. Make Yerushalayim great. Build it up. Bring us back Kibbutz Goliath. His nari me'afa kumi, his ori is ori. Mikdash melech yimelucha kumi tzi'imi tocha afecha. Please, I beg of you. But at a certain point, we become more strident, more confident, more positive, and more aggressive in our security that indeed it will happen. And that's from Lo Yisei Vayishi on. And that's why we change the nigun. Because there's a shift, there's a tectonic shift in our sense of the geula. From maybe and we hope to vaday and we expect. When the pasuk says v'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha, which the Rav brought as a raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do tshuva, so it's not merely that the Rambam didn't bring that pasuk; he brought the pasuk of his vadu, but also because v'shafta could very well mean I am confident that you will do tshuva, not I demand of you tshuva. So when the Rambam says kishe yasu tshuva. Chayav lizvados. That's why the others, unlike the Rav, said Tshuva is the necessary prerequisite, and it's a given, but it's not a commandment. The commandment isn't necessary, because without tshuva, the human being couldn't exist for a moment. Tshuva is oxygen. You can't be removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't be away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us, and the Rambam formulates himself in an extraordinary way, Esmael, before I did tshuva, I used to be shukatz matua of meruchak. Today, ohuv v'nechmad karov v'yedid. How much closer can you get? Ohuv v'nechmad v'karov v'yedid. Like you did Hashem. V'bin yom enoma, you did Hashem. Because choyfef olav yishkan lebet ha'kolav. Ben k'seif of shachay. Human being cannot be without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You open up the Talmud Dvorah, at the very beginning of Talmud Dvorah, basically he tells you, look, the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person could not be alive for a second. When the ganav goes to steal and do this a terrible avera, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't sustain him that moment, he would disintegrate and disappear. We can't be without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And tshuva is the biggest tshuva, return. Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. So that's why I believe they felt that the mitzvah is vidui. That's the technical mitzvah. What did the Rav do? The Rav has a big hakdama where he gives many examples, and he says mitzvahs are divided into two kinds of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs asay. One kind of mitzvahs asay is a mitzvah that you do, biyadayim, biraglayim, bepeh, whatever, and that's the mitzvah, gendikt. Best example is lulav. What's lulav? I mean, lulav has all kinds of esoteric aspects to it, and there are the anianuim and the ishanis and whatever. But just the mitzvah lulav itself. The mitzvah lulav is to take the minim and lift them up. The al mitzvah lulav, lekichas lulav, lekachtem lachem bayom harishon. That's the mitzvah, lekichas lulav. There are many mitzvahs like that. You just have to do something. But then the Rav's pointed out that there are certain mitzvahs, and actually quite a number of them, and he mentions a number of them. Mitzvahs like avelus. So the aninus of the lev, the tsar in your heart, that's the mitzvah. But the trappings of the mitzvah, the maisa of the mitzvah, is not the same as the kiyum ha-mitzvah. The kiyum ha-mitzvah is belev. But the Maisa Mitzvah is to create that Kiyum HaMitzvah. And the Maisa Mitzvah is the Isu Nilas HaSandal and the Isu Tashmish HaMitzvah and the Isu of sitting in and so on and so forth. Same thing he says is true of Kriyashma. Kriyashma is to read Parshiyas of the Torah. But the cold reading of the Parshiyas of the Torah, snapshot that it requires also another element called Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. The mitzvah is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and you do it by reciting the parsha with Kavanah. The recitation of Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is the words that come out of my mouth, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah is how I feel, how I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? What does it mean an Ol? Same thing he says is true, most especially about Tefillah. Tefillah again is la'avda, because the Torah defines it that way. The Torah doesn't say daven. The Torah doesn't say do some sicha, ain't sicha el tefillah. A yetsa yitzchak lasuach basada lifnei Hashem yishbach sicha. Avada givis. Or tefillah is what Chana lacks fasel nois v'koyla lil yishamea. But the bitwis fasayim of tefillah is not the essence of tefillah. It's just how you go about doing it. Because tefillah belev is not good enough. Here, her kedibur does not apply over here. You have to say things, but the kiyum is built into the chayva. The Rambam says that tefillah is dairaisa. Tefillah dairaisa, what does it mean? What does it mean that tefillah is dairaisa? Where do you know that from? Because the pasuk says, va'avadatem es Hashem elokeichem. And then it says, ulo'avdai b'chol avavchem. Ezu hi avoda shebelev heve oimer zu tefillah. So the Rav says exactly the same thing by tshuva. Tshuva is the mitzvah. The manifestation of tshuva, the physical manifestation of tshuva. The maisa mitzvah is vidui. When the Rambam says, chayav lizvados, and he derives it from the pasuk "Vizvadu es chatosim asher asu zuvidu dvarim." It's to tell you a chiddush that even though the mitzvah is tshuva, but if you don't say the vidui with your mouth, if you don't utter the words, then you're not mekayim the mitzvah. But the mitzvah, according to the Rav, clearly and unequivocally is tshuva. What's fascinating is that the Rambam in the very same halacha continues and also seems to corroborate the other approach. Vidui ze mitzvahs asay. Rambam says, vidui ze mitzvahs asay. The Rambam said, tshuva uvidui hey mitzvahs asay. What does he mean, vidui ze mitzvahs asay? So that's really a very fascinating topic in its own right, which we're just skimming the surface of it. But that's the question. Everyone's masking that tshuva is essential. But is tshuva also the mitzvah itself, maybe the mainstay of the mitzvah, which doesn't even have to be expressed so much by the Rambam? Vidui being only the external manifestation of the pu'ula, the maisa mitzvah? Or is vidui the whole mitzvah in terms of taryak? But of course, vidui without tshuva is dvarim b'teilim. You know, it's like echta v'yashuv. Hey, must speak in the other lasses, tshuva. And what do you mean you're talking and you don't have anything in your heart? That means you haven't changed. So where's your concern for the mitzvahs that you didn't do or for the averus that you committed? Where's your concern about being close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So it goes hand in hand. It has to. But the question is, what is the technical mitzvah? Then the Rambam in the same halacha said, Ketzad mitzvah. Now that I tell you, you have to say vidui bedvarim, so I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to say. Oimer ono Hashem, chotosi avisi pashaiti lefanecha vasisi kach vekach. V'hare nichamti uboishti b'maasai. I regret and I'm embarrassed with what I did. Ula olam eini choizer ledover zeh. And I will never do it again. Those are no small things. But let's ask ourselves the following question. And the Rambam says, "Vezehu ikaro shel vidui." This is the mainstay, the fundamental of vidui. What the Rambam means is there are things to say about all of these elements, ba'arichus. And the Rambam in fact says, "Kol amarbe lizvados o marich beinyon zeh harezim meshubach." And I was like, "Kol amarbe lizabah bitzias mitzrayim. Kol amarbe beinyon zeh harezim meshubach." In the Gemara, in Maseches Yuma, you'd get the impression that Ikar Tshuva is even enough if you end up saying Avol Anachnu or Anachnu Avoseinu Chatonu. Avol meaning, as the Rav used to point out 1,000 times, not but rather for sure, indeed, absolutely, like Avol Hashemim Anachnu. It doesn't mean however, it means absolutely. Total admission. No ifs, ands, or buts. No equivocation. Avol. But it just says chatosi. Here the Rambam has three elements. The first element, interestingly enough, parallels word for word the lashon of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol made several viduyim in the Beis HaMikdash. One for himself and his family, one for himself and Shevet Levi and Shevet Kohanim, and Bnei Aaron Am Kedoshecha, and finally Klal Yisrael. But the Lashon is essentially the same. Ona Hashem, you have to start it with Ona Hashem. Chatosi, Avisi, Upashati, Ufanecha. It's Ani Uvesi, Ani Uvnei Aaron Am Kedoshecha, or Chatu Avu Poshu Am Chal Yisrael. But it's always the same lashon. Ana Hashem, that's how you start. Hashem means the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chatosi avisi pashait lifanecha. And then it says, Ana Hashem, in the video of the Kohen Gadol. Kaper no. Al avoinos, al chatoim avoinos epshoim shechotu v'ovu sheposhu lifanecha. So there's two Shem Hashems. And it could be the second one is on a bashem. That latter chelek with Bakoshas Kapara is not mentioned in the Rambam's individual vidui of Hilchas Tshuva Perek Aleph Halach Aleph. The Rambam does not mention the Bakosha in vidui. The entreaty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there just the same, because he starts out saying, Ona Hashem Chatosi Avisi Pashayti Lefanach. And the Rav in the Ala Tshuva, he talks about that first Ona. What's that first Ona all about? My personal feeling, and maybe it does dovetail to some extent with what the Rav said, my personal feeling is that there's a very big dilemma when a person's ready to say vidui. The tshuva is already in his heart. Whichever way you look at it, the tshuva is already in his heart. It means nichamti boishti b'maisa is already there in his heart. The awareness and acceptance of the fact that he sinned is in his heart. And even the commitment that he's not going to do it again is in his heart. Whatever is in his heart, he has to say beferish. He has to say befeh. But there's a big problem. You see, when you're inside of yourself, when it's just in your heart, it's not only vague and formless, shapeless, but because of that, there's a certain comfort level. When you have to say something, when you have to actually formulate it and concretize it, sometimes very, very difficult, even if there's no audience. But the problem is there's always an audience. And of course, that audience is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yodea Machshavos Adam, Yodea Liboy Shel Adam, for sure. But in terms of my sense of well-being, in terms of my sense of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have the same problem. But to get up and say, it's kind of a formulation. It requires something to break down. How do you break down the barrier? How do you break, how do you break the ice? How do you say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm back. The people come home after doing all kinds of terrible things, children, and they want to knock on the door, and their hand, it just doesn't reach the door, because they're so worried about that confrontation. They're so worried about the return. That's why there's Ona Hashem. Ona Hashem is the Pesach. It's the opening. And I think that the reason it's an Ona Hashem is because you are invoking the Midas HaRachamim. Meaning, in other words, I have a secret weapon. And the secret weapon is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rav talks about this idea at length, Ani Hashem Koidem Achet, Ani Hashem L'Acha Achet. He speaks about Koidem Achet is when you're pure, L'Acha Achet is before you did Tshuva, L'Acha Achet. It's still Ani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you, Pischuli Pesach Kechudo Shel Machet, you go to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Vidui and you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I am trying so hard to open up that tiny little opening, and it's not easy at all. But I know that you asked for it, and that's Ona Hashem. Chatosi Avisi Pashayti Lefanecha is also very fascinating. The Rav interpreted it as Gilgul Shvuah, because V'asisi kach v'kach is really the point. A person did a specific Aveira, and he realized he did the Aveira, and he has to do Tshuva. You know, this whole idea that Tshuva is a Seres Yimei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, it's very false. Tshuva is whenever somebody does something wrong, he's mechuyev to do Tshuva immediately. And we do a lot of things that are not b'seder, and we realize they're not b'seder. And there's no such thing as waiting until Yom Kippur, waiting until Aseres Yimei Tshuva. There's no such thing. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva talks about Yom Kippur a lot, and then he talks about Asara Yomim Ben Yom Kippur, Ben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as being especially significant and especially capable for people who want to do Tshuva. But Tshuva is a 24/7 constant throughout the year. So there's a specific Aveira that the person did. Person messed up in Hilchos Shabbos something. Or a person, however it happened, missed a Zman Kriyat Shema. It could be, you know, some people would think that's a very minor thing. You know, it's a story. I wasn't there and I didn't witness it, but an Adam Gadol, he once came to the Alt of Slabodka, his Mashgiach, his Rebbe. An Adam Gadol Miyodam, a Baki Bishas, a tremendous posek eventually. And he said to him something very interesting. He says, I got involved in what I was learning. I completely lost track of time and I missed the mincha. Now, I imagine that some of us would hear such a story, they'd say, wow, what an Adam Gadol, what a masmid. You know, the Alt of Slabodka didn't say anything to him. He says, you know, tomorrow we're going to be visited by Rav Naftali Amsterdam. When Rav Naftali Amsterdam comes, you'll discuss this with him. Talk to him about it. No, so he waited till he came, and Rav Naftali Amsterdam came. He says to him the same thing. I was learning Basmada without any gaiva. He was saying simply, I was learning Basmada. I was completely oblivious of the time. I missed the mincha. Upon which Rav Naftali Amsterdam fainted. That's the story. I wasn't there. But there are all kinds of averis. Big averis, little averis, some averis. We know that they're little, some averis are really much bigger than we think. And we're mechuyev to do tshuva right away. So the vidui, if such a tshuva, what would you say? An Hashem, good. I need the Ribon Shlom from the very outset. And then you'd say, Asisi kach v'kach. What's this chotose visi prashati business? And it's not the same as the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, because the vidui of the Kohen Gadol specifically or deliberately does not mention specific averis, because that's not the business of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is being misvada, I wouldn't use the word in the abstract, but in the collective. So of course he's supposed to say chotose visi prashati or chotu avu pashu about Klal Yisrael, because it includes the chatoyim, it includes the avonis, and it includes the pshayim. Chatoim is b'shogeg, avonis is b'mezit, pshayim is b'mered. Fine. So that's why he uses that terminology. But why am I, as a yochid, who's confessing for a specific avera that I am aware of, why do I have to say chatoseh v'isik pashayti? Because it's the nusach of the Kohen Gadol? That's a tremendous question. So the Rav said, it's mitzmamash adin of Gilgul Shvuah. Meaning, translating it in terms of vidu. Gilgul Shvuah is that once you're mechuyev in Shvuah A, the Chachamim can impose upon you to piggyback, if you will, to add on a whole series of Shvuahs, which in and of themselves they would not be able to be mechayev. It's almost like once the door is open, they can throw the book at you. The Rav said that when a person comes and says a sisi kach v'kach, he has to include everything else that he did. And I would suspect that because there's an inyan, that averus that a person did tshuva on, has to do tshuva again, and again, and again, and again, that maybe that's the pshat. I think that, if you want to get a little bit psychological about it, I think that what's happening here is this. A person doesn't just do one avera. Chazal tell us, Ein adam chotei elam kei nichnas bo ruach shtus. Okay. Person would normally not sin. If he really had the picture, if the Ribbono Shel Olam was with him, it was Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Bisomid, and that was it, he could never do an Aveira. Because nothing could be important enough to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's right there in front of him. If you're in the palace of the king, which is the whole world, really. So how did you end up doing it? Nichnas bo ruach shtus. I have no right to say that. That's what I'm suggesting. I have no right to excuse myself that way. When I say vidui, I can't say Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I'm pretty much a good guy. You know that. You know that I'm a fine fellow. I'm a shomer mitzvahs. I give tzedakah. I keep Shabbos. We're only human. Ta'ur is human. Once you say that, I think the vidui to a great extent goes down the drain. Tshuva is really mechuyev to break the person before it reconstructs him. And you cannot break yourself if you already come with the excuse in your mouth. You know, a kid that comes and has already formulated a very good explanation of why he's late and missed the shiur, he's not going to have any genuine regrets. But what else does it mean? It means that he doesn't fully appreciate what it means to miss a shiur. A person has to know that if he does an aveira, he can't come with excuses and justifications. You know, the Rav has this beautiful pshat on why we blow 100 kolos. We blow 100 kolos because we derive the Yilula Yolal and the Ginuchei Gonach of the shofar, the groaning and the wailing. From whom? From the mother of Sisera. Pasuk says in Shiras Dvara, Ba'ad ha'chalon nishkefa v'tiyabev yavava, right? Yom trua metargeminon yom yavava v'tiyabev, yud beis beis. V'tiyabev em Sisera, ba'ad ha'eshnav. She was sitting there by the window, and she's looking out. Why is she looking out by the window? Because she's anticipating the arrival of her hero, her son Sisera, the general, coming back from his great conquests, which he came back routinely. And he would bring her trifles and baubles and all kinds of things and young Jewish girls to be her slaves. And she's waiting by the window because he's late. Something is not beseder here. So she starts to cry. So the Rav said that 100 kolos represent something that is so essential to our understanding of what the shofar is supposed to do in terms of our hirhurei tshuva. And what is that? So right after it says that she sits by the window and she's crying, the pasuk continues in very poetic language from Dvora and Neviya, Shiras Dvora. Chachmos sareiseha ta'aneha, afhi toshiv amareha la. Halo yimtzu yichalku sholo. The wise ones, the yes people that were hanging around her and wanted to make her feel good, they have to explain why is he late. So it's very easy. You think that he's coming late, there's something wrong, there's a problem. Pum faket, lehefach mamish. He is so busy because he was so victorious and he was so successful. They have so much spoils. I push it to count up the spoils and count them up. Halo yimtzu, yachalku sholol. That's why he's late. So when she says, madua boshesh richbo lavo, why is he tarrying? Madua echeru, why don't I hear? Pa'amei markev osav, the bells, you know, that are on his chariots, they answer Parshat. It's taking a long time because the victory is so great. What does that mean in terms of Ktia Shofar? At the beginning, a person doesn't want to say he sinned. He doesn't want to say he sinned. He doesn't want to say, I messed up. He doesn't want to say that I don't deserve your chesed, Ribbono Shel Olam. On the contrary, he says, I'm a good person, I'm fine. Have a very good track record here and there. I messed up, so ain't adam chotei mitnichlas roi rosh. Does Chazal himself say it? Leave me alone. Of course, I'll do tshuva. I'll say, you know, sisi kach v'kach v'gamarti. What happened in the mother of Sisera is that at the beginning she was listening to them and she became a little bit calmed and she was groaning. As time went on, she realized that, all those baba maises are not valid. You know why? Because it's taking too long. So the truth entered into her Baal Karcha, and she broke down completely. The 100 kolos represent for us, said the Rav, that we have to do in tshuva is to strip away. What we have to do is to strip away all the baba maises, all the excuses, all the justifications, all of the many layers of protection, because we don't want to admit, Ribbono Shel Olam, I really messed up. And I did something against you. How could I have done that? It takes away the Ruach Shtus completely. How do you do that? The answer is, you say to Ribbono Shel Olam, this isn't the first and only time. I am a sinner. I'm not going to give any excuses. I'm not going to say this is a one-time affair. I'm not going to say that this is an aberration. This is who I am, Nebuch. and I don't want to be that way. Chatosi avisi upashaiti. And then you also add the word that the Kohen Gadol says, lefanecha. You know what it means? I did it in the palace of the king, because maloichalav it's klinti. It's really very scary when you think about it. I don't want to scare the oilam. But when you think about it, the person has to admit with a true and genuine admission. It's very fascinating. In the Ar Yisrael, there's a big arichus that what's missing by us, that our tshuva is not what it should be, is not the chesaron in Kabbalah lahaba per se. You know, a person could say, you know what's wrong? At the moment, it's gewaldic. You did such a wonderful tshuva, but you forget. You lose your commitment, you lose your balance, you know, you go back to your routine, and before you know it, you're doing that avera again. The Yetzer has grabbed you all over again. He says, not like that. He says, the chesaron is there was no charata l'sha'ava to begin with. There's no genuine regret. If the regret wrenches you, tears you to pieces, and the sense of remorse is so overwhelming that you don't know what to do with yourself, and that the only thing you can do is latch onto the Ribbono Shel Olam and to that Ana Hashem, because if not for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm completely lost. I've lost my bearings. I did something so terrible. Without that charata, there's not going to be any value to anything else later on. That's what he says. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to dwell upon it a little bit more. But that's what I believe is the reason that he has to say Chatosi Avisi Pashaiti. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not justifying anything because this isn't the one and only time. If Lo Yitzuyah, this was the only Aveira that the person ever did, it would be a different kind of story altogether. Vari Nichamti Uboishti, I regret. And the Rav used to point out all the time, Shuva Yisrael Ki Kashalta Mavaynecha. People make cheshbonos and they end up doing averus for all kinds of reasons and justifications. And it ends up to be a debacle. It ends up to be a disaster. You know, people have all sorts of hanos, all sorts of pleasures in certain averus. And then they say to themselves, you know, the pleasure was a pleasure and I enjoyed it, but I did something wrong. There's no regret in the sense that it was a failure. It was empty. It was worthless. It wasn't kedai. I made a mistake. You know, I have this mushal that I've been using lately a lot. There's in the world, they sell things and buy things that are rare, and there's a market for them, and there are all kinds of things: stamps, coins, baseball cards. It doesn't have to be great works of art or Stradivarius violins. And there's tremendous markets for them. It could be a baseball card that sells for $1 million. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know anything about baseball cards. But when I was a kid, I used to collect stamps. Many kids, they go through a tufa where they collect stamps. Now, the only thing I collect is Pidyon HaBen coins as a Kohen. But I don't collect stamps. But I remember when I was a child, that stamps could be very, very expensive. I'm not talking about $5 instead of 10 cents. I'm talking about thousands of dollars. And there's a stamp that sells for $1 million. It's probably one in the world, and if the person's willing to sell it, he can command any amount. It's strange, this whole idea. But people bid for things, and they have money, and they're willing to pay, and that, you know, makes something valuable, like anything. A person finds such a stamp, and he's not a philatelist, he's not a stamp collector. He's a regular Joe. And he has to mail a letter. He's very excited. He found it. He doesn't have to go to the post office. He found a stamp. In the drawer, he found a stamp. Puts the stamp on, looks it, puts it on the envelope, puts it in the mailbox. Very tzufriden. Finished the job. Sent out the letter. And then somebody comes and informs them, you know, I put, there was a certain stamp that's worth $1 million that I put in the drawer here for safekeeping. I can't find it. Imagine the regret of the person who sent out that letter. That's the regret that a person has to feel. That's nichamti. And then is boshti. What is boshti? Busha. Busha is, you know, the lefanecha, chatasi lefanecha. Hashem is always whispering into the person's ear, I expected more from you. And I'll tell you an interesting thing. You know, towards the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, there are two psukim there, a series of psukim, but there's two statements which describe the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this covenant with Klal Yisrael. And it says, very interestingly, Es Hashem Ha'amarta Hayoim, you chose HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bnei Yisrael. Hashem is talking to Bnei Yisrael. You committed yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know what the word Hamarta means exactly. Rashi says one thing and other Mefarshim say other things. There's almost as many Pirushim one way or the other as there are Mefarshim. Okay. But I have to tell you, in the instance, let me read the Psukim to you inside. Because it's very important. The point that I'm about to make is very fascinating. So this is in Pasuk Tezayin of Perek Chavov, right at the beginning, after Biarti HaKadosh Min Abayis, Hashkifu Mon Kodshecha, the Pasuk says, Hayom Hazeh, Hashem Elokecha Metzavcha Lassas Zachukim Ha'ele, Es HaMishpotim, V'shamarta V'asisa Osam, Cholavav Chavchon HaShecha. Then the Pasuk says, Es Hashem He'amarta Hayom Lios L'cha L'lokim, you committed yourself that he should be your God. This is what our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. To do the mitzvahs of the Torah and to heed his bidding. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also commits himself. Hashem committed himself to you that you should be the treasured nation, just as he spoke to you. So it's referring to that you are going to be so cherished and a unique nation and a treasured nation. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commits himself. You should be a. But what's incredibly difficult to understand is the end of the middle pasuk. Hashem commits himself to you that you should be his Am Segula as he has spoken to you. V'lishmar kol mitzvosa. Just a moment. Lishmar kol mitzvosa. This is what Hashem commits himself to Bnei Yisrael. It's what Bnei Yisrael commit themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, he said it right before. V'lishmar chukov mitzvosa mishpatav lishmaya b'koyla. So these three words, v'lishmar kol mitzvosa, as many mefarshim ask, have no place here. And I'll tell you what I think is the pshat. I think the Ribbono Shlom says, when I took you as a treasured nation, what do I want from you? Why did I choose you? Why didn't I choose some other nation? Why didn't I choose the whole world? Why didn't I make it a universal religion? Taryag mitzvahs. The answer is, I have different expectations of you. You're the only ones that can do it. When it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you, Liyosloy le'am segula, he chose you lishma kol mitzvosav. Like any shomer, you know, you have to have a guard. You have to have a shomer. What kind of a shomer? A shomer that can do the job. If you know you're going to have a shomer that's going to fall asleep on the job, you're not going to take him. You're not going to hire him. If you know that he's stupid and he let the wrong people enter, you're not going to allow him to be the guard at the gate. If you know that he's going to be busy with conversations with his friends and he's going to ignore the task at hand and people could slip right by him and he won't even realize it, that's not a shame. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I chose you because you can be a good shame. V'lishma kol mitzvosav. My commitment as a Jew is to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commitment to me is that no matter what, he's always going to feel that I'm the best one for the job. That's where the busha comes from. I messed up, Ribbono Shlom. you were so confident in me. You had so much expectations of me. And look what I did. In English, the expression is, I blew it. In slang, I blew it. That's boishti. So nichamti means I regret, because I didn't get what I wanted out of it. It was just a superficial hana'ah. It was a temporary fling. It was an unnecessary remark. This lashon hara that hurt people. It was such a stupid comment that I made to my wife, or to my husband, and look what it did. And I regret it because I hurt her feelings. I hurt her feelings. I don't want to hurt her feelings. There's no one in the world that I love more than her. There's no one in the world that I love more than him. So there's tremendous regret, but there's also busha. I messed up. When you add it all up, the Rambam is really incredible. The Rambam is telling you, Ketzad mitzvadin omer ona Hashem chatosi avisi pashaiti lefanecha. It's all the, I did lots of averus. Chatosi avisi pashaiti. And it was lefanecha. And I need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because without that midas harachamim, I can't even speak. My mouth is dumb. I'm speechless. I have no words. How am I going to be mitzvada? Except that I know ona Hashem, the midas harachamim, and the Hashem la'acha achet. Vasisi kach v'kach, you have to be mefaret. Bari nichamti u'boishti v'maasai. Person has to say, there's no way that I could do this again. With the full knowledge that he said this quite a number of times and he did return. Doesn't matter, this time is going to be different. You know, it's very interesting. There's a certain aspect of deluding oneself in tshuva, which I will glean that of Lishua, I'm going to talk about that next time. Should be zoicha that we should all have the hirhuri tshuva that we need and have the confidence that we are all entitled to tshuva and we are able to do tshuva and that it's never too late. As Hashem Yisbarach, we will continue gesund and atzlocha next week.